Okay.
All right.
I think we got a show going already.
This is the show right now.
It's easy as ABC.
1, 2, 3.
It's episode 123. You got it.
Yeah, I just right on cue, like always.
Yeah, no, that's not even a thing. We're not even including any of that.
Why?
You have to ask. And welcome to episode 123 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I am just feeling great right now. I was a little down last week, so did you hear the positivity in my voice?
Yeah, I do. I hear a little bit of the misery hangover.
No, not at all.
No, you got nothing? You got over it that quickly?
I did. I really did.
They got knocked out that quickly, so...
Yeah, I'm over it.
Part of it is that I don't understand why everyone is so upset in Vancouver.
Because I don't think people are that upset.
Well, there was a little bit of, from what I understood, I thought short season, and it's not like they even teased you in the playoffs, like they might do something. They just tanked it from day one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, nobody ever going into the playoffs. Again, I feel like I'm a pretty good finger on the pulse of the Vancouver vibe here. And I listen to a lot of sports talk radio. And I think that there wasn't a lot of believers that they were going to win. Mm-hmm. And a victory in the first round would have been a pleasant surprise. But I don't think anybody thought that they were going past that. Well, so maybe. It was kind of like, yeah, prepared, you know, basically we got what we expected, and so I don't think anybody got their hopes up, so nobody's too disappointed.
A W would have been nice.
Yeah, one would have been nice, yeah.
There you go.
Although it just would have prolonged the inevitable, right?
It just feels so stupid to set your city on fire after they lose.
Yeah.
No, that's true. What happened last time, though.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, maybe if they got to play one more game at home, we could have burned the place down.
There you go. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Give us a chance to light her up.
Yeah.
Okay, I said us. I do not count myself in those riders. Not only was I not in town, I would not have done that. Okay.
Right.
So what's going on besides that, Adam? Anything?
No. Nice weather. That's it. It's beautiful here. So that's about all that I got going on. We've been having the last week has been just one sunshiny day after another. How about over there?
Nothing to complain about, but nothing to write home about either. Right. Weather-wise, well, I mean.
Okay.
Life's been busy. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So there's that.
Anything that you care to talk about?
nothing that would interest anybody.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm good with that.
Nothing I'm keeping secret, just out of respect for everybody's attention span.
Okay, all right.
Amazon.
Oh, we're millionaires.
Yeah, well, yeah, we are. Okay. Not really millionaires, but people are chipping away. I appreciate that people are taking the time to click through our site.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you to everybody. It's one of those things where it's nice because it takes almost no effort to do.
Right.
But it takes actually no effort to not do it.
Okay.
So I appreciate the fact that that people are making a little bit of effort, and it helps us out. And so I even chipped in myself.
Great. What'd you buy?
Barbecue.
Nice.
Yeah. A new gas barbecue for the house.
Did you get it yet?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yes.
Okay.
I've used it 3 times already.
All right. Burgers?
I didn't think you could barbecue cereal, but when you're in a pinch, you can do it. I made some burgers. Yeah.
Some sausage? Course,
you have no choice here. Every burger you barbecue, you have to cook at least 2 sausages.
All right.
It's the law, but yeah, I love it. Even though gas barbecue here is probably sacrilege. They don't like to do it, I don't think. But point is, we should mention, if you didn't figure out what we're talking about, if you are going to buy something on Amazon, click through our homepage at twohosers.com and click on the right-hand side. You'll see buttons that'll take you to the Amazon store of your choice.
Right.
And once you get there, the rest of your Amazon experience is identical.
Okay.
Except we get a cut. They give us 95% of the sale.
Great.
Yeah, seems high to me. I don't know. I might have misread that, but no, we get a very small cut, and that helps us keep the podcast going. So we appreciate your help. Mystery solved, Adam.
What's the mystery?
The 1/180th of a second shutter speed.
I read the explanation. Why don't you give it to us? There still seems to be something unclear in my mind, but why don't you go ahead and give us the explanation?
There is something a little unclear in my mind as well about why. I don't understand why it would still default to that. However, when you set up your camera, you have the option of choosing third of a stop or half stop increments.
Right.
For the shutter speed and for the aperture.
Right.
Probably for the ISO as well, I would think.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Pretty sure. I don't know. I never bother because I always think in thirds and that's the end. But you can dial it in for a half. I don't know why you would. It gives you a little bit less control, but you can do it. So evidently, if you were to do that, dial it in half stop increments, it wouldn't go to 1/160th. It would go to 1/180th.
Okay, and that therein lies the max shutter speed. But what I don't understand is, as soon as I put my flash on top of the camera or on the triggers that read the ETTL, 1/180th now magically is available.
But you're still, the rest of it, you can still go in third of a stop. You're not, it doesn't default to half stop increments. It's now at third of a stop.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it's still in thirds. It just goes 160, 1/180, and then 200. So that's the part I don't understand. The other part of the explanation made perfect sense to me.
Yes.
But why it's available in one way and not in another, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand why they wouldn't just say it, call it 1/160th at the end, unless the actual sync speed is 1/180th, and they're just trying to squeeze that extra little bit out of it.
The actual sync speed is 1/180th.
Yeah, I understand that. It's advertised as 1/160th, though, isn't it?
No, it's advertised as 1/180th is the max sync speed.
Okay. So it's just, to me, I don't understand that last little bit. Like, I don't know why it would automatically go to that. Like, that seems like too much effort. However, thanks to Heiko, who sent that email in.
Yeah, so thank you. Yeah. Clear that last bit up, and then you're my hero.
Right.
Yeah.
How's the new softbox?
Just got it earlier this week. Really haven't had much of a chance to use it. Okay. First impression is, like, I got it home like anything. I've been working lots, so haven't had a lot of play time yet. I did some other photography stuff, and it just wasn't conducive to setting that up for what I was trying to do. So anyways, I will get back to you with a more in-depth review. First impression is, A, it's extremely portable and light.
Uh-huh.
And B, the setup time is extremely fast. No more time, I would say, than to set up my umbrella setup. Mm-hmm. So basically, it just pops out into the shape. It has a little speed ring that nothing needs to be screwed on. It just more or less uses a pressure mount system through the back of the softbox. You just slip the bracket on, and then bracket just screws into the top of your light stand, and it's a nice, flush, strong mount. And then your flash goes on top of the little cold shoe, and then you're good to go. There's a couple of Velcro things, but most of that can stay attached. So once it's set up once, you don't have to take it all apart. And then it has a few accessories, a grid, and a circular mask for round catch lights, as opposed to the square catch lights that you would get from the softbox. And again, it's just super, super light. And the bracket on it has a great ball head for the swivel on it. So that was the main reason I bought that particular one, and reading reviews was that A, the bracket was really solid and metal, and B, the amount that it could pivot up and down was far greater than the other softboxes in that price range. So
this replaces, you don't need a umbrella mount then?
No, you don't, because it has a circular mask.
Uh-huh. No, okay, I understand that.
It's got the full bracket, so you don't need any other mount. So this goes right on your stud on your light stand.
Oh, okay. And that hadn't occurred to me. I figured you'd probably still use it, and, you know.
Nope.
Good. Nice.
So that's it. Yeah, so I will play around and probably take some sample images at some point with it this weekend, and then I will post that.
Well, good news. Later on in the show, when we get to next week's photo challenge, it's going to be Use Your Softbox.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's my kid screaming in the background.
All right. She does she know that, that's the challenge at the end of the show?
Yeah. No, it's not why she's screaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Use your soft voice, maybe.
That's what it should be. Use your inside voice. Yeah. That would be the good challenge. Yeah. Okay. Eggs of Oku from last week.
All right.
Maybe we took the picture. You did the one of you're the hockey guy.
Yeah.
And my daughter is the hockey girl.
Right.
And what I noticed last week, I forgot to mention that you're wearing a helmet and a visor, and my daughter is no helmet.
Right.
Yeah, she's going very you're going European, that's the joke. And yeah. She's going Craig McTavish. So
I was going to say Dave Semenko.
Dave Semenko wore a helmet, didn't he?
No.
What? Are you saying Dave Semenko was a no... I think he was a helmet wearer.
I don't think so.
Uh-oh.
Maybe at the end of his career.
I'm going
to go back
that.
And check that now. I'm going to have to Google that. I didn't think so.
Yeah. I think in a weird twist, I'm not even joking. I'm pretty sure that Dave Semenko wearing a helmet is the reason I got Wayne Gretzky's autograph when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's
short
just take
strokes?
A time out and figure out the answer to this.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the quick reason. A long time ago, we knew somebody who was working for the airlines. I forget which airline it was. Probably Canadian, which no longer exists, or CP Air or something like that.
Okay.
And the orders had flown in for the game. Bam! Semenko forgets his helmet in Edmonton. So the lady working there, who we knew, is a friend of ours, had said, "Don't worry, his helmet will be on the next flight. I need a favor. I need Wayne Gretzky's autograph on an 8x10. And that's how I... And yep, done. And that's how I got it back in 84 or something.
How do you spell Dave Semenko? Is it S-E-M?
It's D-A-V-E. S-E-M-E-N-K-O.
How do I learn this? How do I learn this piece of information?
Are we not going to Google on the show, are we? Really?
No, I'm trying it right now. It's yeah. This is live Googling.
Yes, that's not a thing. That's okay. Not, there's no show. Hey, what can I Google? What can Adam Google?
All right. So, what does Wikipedia have to say? Is there a show called that?
Yeah, there already is that. It's patent. It's, what do you call it? I don't know. Point is, there's actually way more to the story, but let's move on to photo stuff.
All right. I'll keep you updated. All right.
That's good. You're going to be really dialed into the show while you Wikipedia Dave Semenko helmet. Yeah. I'm sure we can probably phone him.
Did you know he was traded to Hartford in January of 1987?
I think everybody knew that.
Considered by many to be one of the toughest players ever in the NHL.
Yeah. And what was his nickname? Does it say?
Well, we all know that, right? Cemented.
Cemented. Which...
Wouldn't need a helmet for a
cement.
That's
what I'm saying. Why would you put a helmet on cement? You wouldn't do it. I don't know. By the end of the show, we'll put a little tag on and say, yes, he indeed did or did not wear a helmet. Craig McTavish, no helmet. No helmet.
Okay. All right.
Dave Babich, no helmet. Yeah. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
You've changed it now because I did shoot stuff.
No, you shot something interesting.
I did?
We haven't, I think, you had Sarah's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I put up a few pictures. I guess that was just the day after we recorded our last podcast. So, yes, technically that is part of the new week. So, yeah, I took some pictures at Sarah's party, just some candid photos first of them doing gymnastics. It was a gymnastics party. I put a few of them up on the Facebook page. Couldn't include a lot of them because I didn't have permission from parents to put their children up on the internet, so I'm not comfortable doing that. So I clipped photos and basically just used photos where the only people that were visible were either Sarah or Jack. So that's why I posted what I did. But part of the party, what was fun, and by the way, that was all ETTL off-camera flash stuff. So shooting, because they're all running and swinging, and I needed a fast shutter speed so that you know, everything wouldn't blur. So again, it was relatively dark. So I'm shooting high ISO with high speed sync off camera flash so that, I can just kind of, you know, hopefully fill in some shadows.
Just like a regular dad at a kid's party.
Yeah, well, my dad was the voice-activated light stand, and he just wandered around. And I didn't give him too much direction other than stand in that general area. And he would just aim it at the subjects as I was taking the photos. So, again, therein lies the beauty of the ETTL off-camera high-speed sync, is that I just would have never done this. I would have just shot high ISO and ended up with a ton of grainy photos. Mm-hmm. And turns out I did much better than that with the ETTL. Mm-hmm. Not saying that the best shots are the ones posted, just... I did get a number of really really good shots that I was happy with that, again, wouldn't have been possible without those new triggers. So, again, buy them if you haven't bought them already and you're in the market for triggers, the Yongnuo 622Cs. I'm going to say that again. A few people have already contacted me saying that they're either buying them or have bought them. So, again, we got to figure out how we get a Yongnuo link on our page. Or I guess they can buy them on Amazon. So anyone wanting to buy them, just buy them on Amazon.
All right.
So you see now, how I spun that into a twist? Oh, and the other thing I want to say about the party is I set up a little photo, booth, not exactly the way, you know, we took the photo booth with the three photos and put them together in a strip, but I did set up a similar idea with a little costume box as part of the after the gymnastics fun. Uh-huh. And just got a little like Walmart folding stool that they could sit on.
Right.
And the kids, you know, just took turns putting on costumes, sitting down. I take a shot, and then they just cycle back through. And so I got a shot of every kid, some of them multiple shots with different costumes. And then I'm going to make sort of a thank you card and just include a shot of each kid. And again, I lit them with an umbrella, just one off camera flash and umbrella, and made the light all the same so they'd be consistent across all of them. And I figured I'd make a thank you card where I just basically put every kid who was at the party's picture and just kind of make a little collage and then make, you know, whatever 16 prints of that and send them out as a thank you card.
Wow. You have to quit your job.
No, well, I figured if I do this once, it'll take me maybe, I don't know, 45 minutes or an hour to make the card, and then I just make 16 prints of it. I figure it's not going to be that difficult.
My one, now this is a great idea, and it's something that I would do, and I encourage you to do, but one word of warning. Once you do it, you have to do it every year.
Maybe.
Maybe. The expectations, but the good news is the guest list, like the waiting list to come to Sarah's birthday parties is going to be long.
Yes, well, that's important.
Every kid wants in on this one.
Yeah.
She's going to be the Paris Hilton of the class.
We'll see. We'll see how they ultimately turn out. Oh, and the other thing I did this week. Let's talk about me a little bit more. But I volunteered at Jack's preschool.
Uh huh.
And I decided, okay, I'm volunteering at the preschool. I'm gonna, you know, take my camera, and when they go out to play, because it was a beautiful day, when they go out to play at the park, I'm gonna bring my camera and I'm gonna take a bunch of photos. So I did that. And then I was so high. Again, it was beautiful, sunshiny day, but it was also like, you know, 11 o'clock and sun's right overhead. So had one of the other parents hold the flash, and again, just bare flash, ETTL, high-speed sync as the kids are running around and playing. And I basically try to get a shot of every kid at the preschool. Uh-huh. And then I immediately went home. I was thrilled with how they turned out. And so I made prints and basically gave each parent, you know, like a couple of shots of their kid and put them in a little envelope, gave the preschool a whole envelope of all the prints so that they could post them in the class. And and everybody was thrilled. So, spreading the photo happiness amongst others. That's what I'm like Santa Claus for photos.
I was like an elf. I was going to say like a wood sprite with the wings and the what do you call it, the tiara?
Yes, just
something like
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Although let's be honest, a tiara would look goofy on a bald head.
So I realize now that the bar is probably set pretty high, but it's also towards the end of the year for school. So I figured, you know, maybe if they have the little graduation, I'll take some photos. But I just thought this was my last volunteer day for Jack's preschool this year. And I just thought this was going to be a fun thing to do. So I did it.
It is a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did, and it's one of those things that I don't always want to be the official cameraman because it, all of a sudden you look up and you're, you know, no one else brings their camera anywhere anymore.
Right.
Which we've talked about before, but I noticed that the other day we went out for a nice hike. It was Father's Day here, like in the middle of the week. That's how they do it. And it's a holiday, though, so everyone gets a day off. We went for like a hike out in the woods to a beer garden, which is Germany, so of course you do.
Right.
With your whole family, but like nobody else even brought a point and shoot. And I thought, wow, you know, I'd like to be in some of these pictures with my kid.
Yeah. You
know? She doesn't want to look back on pictures and go, well, no dad. Yeah. So, anyways, was there more to that? I don't remember what I was talking about.
No, just that you might get sucked into being the photo guy.
Right.
But yeah, I can't say this enough. The ETTL high-speed sync is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm thinking you got to buy a set of these. I don't think there's any looking back. Like, you will love the high-speed sync in ETTL. It's the greatest thing ever.
I will absolutely. It's going to be something I'm going to look forward to. I don't know if that was the proper term. Something I'm going to buy.
Yes.
I'm going to enter this world. It is especially because of the high-speed sync.
Yes.
That to me is kind of a little trick move, but it comes in handy, which we're going to talk about during your photo challenge, actually. So,
okay.
Let me cut to the did I shoot anything interesting this week? Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I did shoot a lot of stuff. It's just nothing new. It's a lot of just basic photos and nothing challenging. I did leave the house with my daughter, and it only took the 17-40 lens with me.
Okay.
Not even a camera body, just the lens, and just walked around all awkward. No, I took it obviously with a full frame with my 5D Mark I, and just decided to take. You know what? I'm shooting wide today. I shoot so many pictures of her or everybody. Just on, you know, with the 85mm lens or the 70-200, and like, so, you know, you want that certain look, right?
Right.
But they all look like that. And so I thought, oh, I'm just going to have some fun with it and take the 17-40, and I actually did. It was a lot of fun. So it's a pretty versatile lens.
Okay.
I think if you have the money, the 16-35 is far better.
Yeah, it's big bucks though, right?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 times the price, I think.
Yeah.
And so the 17-40 serves me quite well. Okay. I like it a lot. So that's the only interesting part. Photo challenge. Last week, dropped the gels. Use a gel of some sort.
Right.
Or gels. More than one. You can use more than one if you want.
Sure.
But that was it. It was gels. So who wants to go first?
How about you?
Fine. Here's my picture of gels. I didn't take a picture of gels. I used them.
Right.
So there's my kid playing baseball.
Yeah, I see her. She looks pretty happy.
She is. She all of a sudden enjoys it because, daddy's playing. Daddy, I'm still playing. Although, a little update, I still won't be playing for the number one team.
Right.
Due to the passport issue, but I'm still involved with the team, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and I shattered a bat the other day.
Wow.
In batting practice, yeah. It felt pretty good. It's one of those things that, a couple things that you miss on the ball, you don't like to do it often because they're expensive, but the good news was it wasn't mine. So, great. P.S., not my issue, but it wasn't even like I got sawed off. I hit it right in the sweet spot, and the bat just shattered, so.
And then you flew out to the right fielder?
Oh, it did, got to first base. It didn't go far. Like, I really hit it hard, and the guy pitching is he was a very, very good pitcher.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of power going on the plate and the mound. So, and then
power versus power.
It was power versus power. It was a classic matchup, and the bat suffered on that one.
Right.
So, but that felt good. It's that I miss that sort of feeling of when a bat breaks and. The smell of pine tar. I don't know if you ever smelled pine tar.
I try not to sniff it.
Okay. That's the one thing I miss the most, the ballpark. And they don't use pine tar here. I don't know why. So anyways, so now that daddy plays all the time, She's really into it. That's her glove, and as you can see, and she has her own ball. The end, and likes to throw it around now. So we went outside the other day, and this is what I came up with.
Okay. So it's backlit by the sun. I'm guessing that's not flash on her hair.
Okay.
And then you've got a flash to warm the whole kind of tone of the photo, especially her. I'm going to say an orange, some kind of CTO, I don't know, a half or a full CTO on her lighting her as the key light, correct?
You're very close. It is a half CTO on the key light through an umbrella.
Okay.
On camera left is what's lighting her up.
Okay.
And then you do see the backlight, the orange backlight on her, and especially the orange rim on the tree there.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be the sun.
Oh, okay.
But I waited all week, and there was no sunset, and so last night I had to go and create the sun, and that is a flash.
Okay, because, I mean, so, it looks like it's the sun, so that's why I wasn't sure if it was or wasn't, but it looks close enough that you would never think about it if it wasn't a photo challenge.
Right. So that was the thing, is I had something in mind with the exact scenario you're describing. And it just didn't materialize in the week that I had to shoot the shot. At least not last night when I finally got around to doing it.
Okay.
And so I basically put a double CTO on a bare flash and put that behind her camera left. And the key light is also camera left in front of her. And that's the half CTO. And then because we still get a little ambient light coming in, I did warm it up. I shot it on a cloudy white balance, so a little bit warmer than regular daylight, just to add a little over little kind of a orangey glow to everything, just a little hint of it. And there you go, that's it. I never could have got this quite this look without the gels. So
great. No, I like it.
This was taken just moments after she decided to do a just go and run over and push my flash over and yell boom. It fell in the mud. That was nice. It was all extremely muddy. We'd had a ton of rain, and so she decided to push my flash in the mud, and then that's why she's laughing, I think. Are you still Googling? Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm done Googling.
Okay.
I didn't get an answer, by the way, so.
Okay, well, we'll sort this out. I'll give Dave a call. So there you go. That's and then I included a no flash picture. My kid was gone at the time, but I just took a picture of the environment as it is, just without being lit.
Okay.
So you can see that. That's the no flash picture there.
All right. So well, that picture is way better than your photo challenge.
Yeah. That one's, I framed this one. Yeah. I sent you a copy too.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at it. I'm like, wow, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. No, it's excellent. The way that the trees are just standing there. And the bench is half in, and like all those key elements really make this picture.
I'm gonna print it and give it to Lisa as a Mother's Day card.
That's what you should do one time. Is because you've given her so many good photos for the last couple whatever since we've been doing the show, and then next one you should give her one that is just stinks on ice, like it's just horrible. Like, it's not straight. Like, every element, like, badly lit, and frame it, and just see if she says anything.
Yeah.
This is how much do I love you
test. I'm going to do that. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that would be great. So, anyways, there you go. So, that's included. Now, your picture.
My picture.
Tell me what's going on here.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Last night, we went out. I had something completely different in mind. I don't know if we want to go into the explanation of what I was going to do.
I do. I want to hear it, man, because it's got to be better than this.
No, this is good. so here's my photo. We can talk about that if depending on time what I was going to do. But I just thought, you know, the kids wanted to go outside and skip. They're really into skipping right now. So we got the skipping rope out and went outside. And immediately I thought, oh, you know what? Let's just, you know, I'm going to play around with the off-camera flash. So I actually had someone holding the flash camera right. and put a half CTO orange gel on the flash, just thinking, hey, we'll see. Like, again, this was not intended to be the photo challenge, but I thought, you know, here's, I'm going to gel it and let's see what happens. And so I put it in high speed sync because I knew he was going to be skipping, and so I was going to need a fast shutter speed here. And so I think I'm shooting, I don't know, you probably have the numbers, but I'm shooting a fast shutter speed. Mm-hmm. And the off-camera light is just kind of out of the frame and just aimed at the left side of Jack's face. And so he's skipping, and we're just popping that flash off because the sun is on his right side, or camera left. Mm-hmm. And the fall off, you can see, I mean, the tones are very blue in the on the ground, which would have been... Yeah, in the shadow. So it would have been very blue on his face. So I basically used the half CTO just to kind of warm up him, his left side, and sort of match that light a little bit better. And yeah, and be able to do it with a super fast shutter speed is kind of, I wanted to showcase again the high speed sync capabilities. And again, this is all done ETTL.
Right.
So now, that's it. He's jumping and I'm snapping photos. A couple of different angles I tried, but I liked the expression in this one. I liked that my daughter is out of focus but in frame, and I liked that my wife's arm is in there too. And there's no questioning what this photo is.
Correct. Well, there's the issue I have with it, because I wasn't sure if you used a gel or not. It looked close, and I did. I do notice where you did.
Yes.
Use a gel, and that was part of the challenge. Outside of that, it is a great photo, and this is something that you would not have achieved without high-speed sync, of course. I mean, I'm sure you would have without flash at all. You probably still would have got a decent photo. It would have been like very little detail in the left side of his face.
Yeah, and I would have lost the blue background. I would have just gone to white. You know, I would have lost the blue and the color detail in the background too. Because if I shot this as a shadow photo, would have had to blow out the background entirely.
Right. What I like here, because what I like the best, is that it looks like you guys are almost in shadow. Like if you're skipping for five more minutes, he's going to be in shadow.
Oh, absolutely.
So, what I like is the fact that you have the shadow and he's jumping out of it into the sun. That's something you should look to shoot more of. Like later on, something to look for, a situation that's going to look really cool.
Yeah.
Because this does look really cool, like when he's doing that. Now, the one issue I have with it that I noticed right away, because you sent a couple of pictures over from this lighting setup.
Yeah.
I still find that the sun side of his face is too hot.
Yeah, I agree.
If you were to even bring it down in camera, knock the shutter speed down even more. Now, you shot at 1/3200th of a second, so you don't have much room to go.
Yeah.
Although, you did have some ISO room to go. You could have gone down with ISO and brought the exposure down. It would have darkened the background a little bit, but I think that would be okay, and we would get to keep the skin tones and the color saturation on his face, because that's really nice what's going on there. And I'm thinking probably at the most a stop would do it.
Yeah.
And you would probably really like the results. And I mean, I think it would require a little extra work out of the high speed sync, because you have to fill it up more, and you're probably pretty close to the edge of what it can handle already. But overall, it is a great image that you would not have gotten if you shot with a normal shutter speed of 1/180th.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I would be. I would not have been able to freeze him.
Yeah. So that's a great example. And had you shot with a, you know, ungelled flash, it would not have. Well, I do like the warm left side of his face.
Yes.
And it would have been very blue. So. There you go. So Eggs of Oku for these two. For my daughter's baseball picture, I shot mine at an ISO of 160. F4 at 1/125th of a second.
Okay.
Why not 1/200th of a second, which is the maximum flash sync speed? I wanted to let a little bit of ambient bleed into the frame. So there's that. So I had it lit at 1/200th and took the shot, and she was the background was a little dark, so I let it bleed in a little bit. Now, that meant I had to hold it very, very still. So what I did there was I held the camera very still.
Okay.
It's a real stopgap approach. So we need to know the what focal length did I shoot at. And Adams, also on the full frame. It was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it would have had to be. No, it didn't have to be. Anyways, ISO 320. You shot yours at an f2.5 at shutter speed of 1/3200th of a second. So that's even faster than 1/3000th of a second. Very, very fast.
Right.
Yes. For to use for a flash. So that's why you ended up using the high-speed sync. And what is the focal length that Adam used? That's what we're looking for. So that's the exit foco.
Do you want to hear about the photo that I was contemplating doing? I still might do it.
I do. I want to hear about it.
So, you know, everybody, I think, that listens to this podcast regularly knows that I'm a big Canucks fan, and I had taken the Canuck photo for the last week's challenge, and subsequently the Canucks had been eliminated. And I grew up in Toronto, or just north of Toronto, and I still have a Maple Leafs jersey in my closet, and the Maple Leafs are actually in the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, what can I do here with a Maple Leafs jersey? So I have a Maple Leafs jersey, heavily gelled photo in mind, almost like a Braveheart, like stark, stark blue on one side of the face. And then I have to figure out how I'm going to completely go like almost white. Like I was thinking almost face paint white on the other side, and just a complete like split down my face. Like try to light it half and half. Mm-hmm. And then was going to put my Maple Leafs jersey on and sort of stand with my head over my hockey stick. So just a different look. I was thinking maybe a white background and with this kind of, you know, 50-50 lighting split going on. So I still might try to do it. That was the idea. It's kind of like, okay, I'm just jumping ship here. Canucks are out, Leafs are still in. But when I had that thought, my problem was, is if I took that shot, by the time we posted this, the Leafs could have been out of the playoffs
for 11 more years.
So it was kind of like, oh, hey, every team that Adam cheers for gets knocked out of the playoffs. So uh-huh. I figured I wouldn't do it. They actually won tonight, so they're still in, but I think they have to play again before this airs. Mm. So I will wait and see. If there's a game 7, that photo might show up.
If you can use your softbox to do it, then
Yeah, I think that there's a good idea. Maybe I'll use my softbox. So,
well, wait till you hear the rules later. But yeah, don't take a picture of you in a Bayern Munchen jersey. People seem to like them here.
Okay, all right, I won't do that. Yeah. I don't think it's probably too easy to get that jersey here.
That's probably the one you can get, actually.
Oh, yeah, because they're like in the Champions League final or something?
Unless it's already been played, I don't pay attention.
All right.
I'm the worst German ever. No wonder I don't have a passport.
I know they were right down to the wire, right?
Yeah, it was an all German final.
Yeah.
Which was a kind of a big deal. And I don't even know if they played. I doubt they would have played. I would have heard people going crazy here. Even though we don't live in Bavaria. Bayern means Bavaria, by the way.
Okay.
The team is like for some reason what do they call it it's Bayern Munich right? The team is Bayern München, which is Bavaria, Munich. That's what it translates to.
Okay.
So I don't know why they only translate half of it in Canada. It makes no sense to me for Bayern Munich. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, that's the team. Don't wear that jersey. This week's topic, gels. Oh,
didn't we already cover it?
We mentioned that we used our gels, but what are gels? Okay. What do we do? What's going on?
It's like a piece of cellophane that goes over your flash.
The end. It's that simple.
It comes in different colors.
Which one do you use? Why do you use them? So we're going to go over this. So why don't you go ahead and go Google something while I just explain to the folks.
Can you explain stuff and I'm going to figure out about Semenko.
This is a good opportunity for you to just take a little nap.
Okay.
No, I'm going to give you a little background on what's going on here. You ever shoot color film?
No. Well, yeah, I did once upon a time, but usually just with those instant cameras, so not really.
Right. So that's film though. I mean, it's color, it's balanced for a certain color. It's got a white balance built in. You can't dial that in.
Right.
Like you can with the digital. So back when you were shooting like motion picture film, when we shoot film in film school, you had to, you know, there was film that was balanced for lights, for tungsten lights at 3200 degrees Kelvin roughly. And that's going to look normal for your yellow lights. But if you're shooting outside, you had to have special film that was balanced for daylight.
Okay.
Or roughly 5500 Kelvin-ish. In around there, it depends. Now, that was it. You couldn't just dial that into the camera and change it like you can now. But you could change it by filtering it. So if you wanted to shoot indoor film outside, you could put an 85 filter on it, or if you want to go the other way, you could put an 80A filter on and shoot outside film inside. But this doesn't really matter for what we're talking about. All that was important is that you had to buy the right one. Now
I'm still with you. I'm still with you.
Well, not for long.
Okay.
But what ended up happening is, like, the lights that they were using, the lights were balanced at to 3200 as well. And what that meant was, if you use the proper film with those lights, you're going to get a proper skin tone. Your skin tone's going to be properly white balanced or close enough that you could fix it later. So all is good. Now,
okay,
what if you were shooting outside? What we just talked about, you're going to put the daylight film in your camera and shoot outside, correct?
Yes.
Life will be good. Your skin tones will be good, unless you want to add lights. What happens if you add lights?
Then you're in trouble.
Your lights are going to be very yellow, because now you're set for outside where the blue light is. You're bringing yellow lights in. Now something's not going to work. Well, you could put a filter over the lens, so that the camera sees those lights as being normal.
Okay.
But that's going to affect all the ambient light as well.
Oh, no.
So now the blue filter, or whatever color it would end up being, would make everything else, would affect your daylight. So it's not going to be balanced. So what if we just shoot our lights through a blue gel, and then it can match the daylight?
That sounds better.
There you go. Boom. That's how we did it with the movies. Of course, they went off and invented something called HMIs that would burn at 5500. So they were actually daylight-colored lights, which I think you can buy in compact fluorescence now. You can buy lights that are essentially the same color as daylight.
Right.
But that was the plan. That way you didn't need any gels. You could just use those outside.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing with those video lights, is they're daylight-balanced.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. When you go to buy color film now for your 35mm camera, which you can still do, it is almost always balanced for daylight. So it's pretty much 5500 or whatever they're balancing at, maybe 5200, but for all intents and purposes. So my thinking on this, I didn't bother to Google it, so this is kind of like a Dave Semenko moment, is that they figured that most people are going to be shooting outside.
Right.
So let's just make that film, balance for daylight. However, have you ever noticed that film pictures taken inside could be very yellow?
Yes.
Thank you for saying yes, even though you have no idea.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, but if you look at some of your old pictures...
What I'm thinking. There's a lot of them are yellowy, orangey, yellowy.
Some of them are because of time, but some of them are because you've taken daylight film and shot them inside with yellow lights. And, you know, back in the day, no one really cared. It was like, okay, there's Adam. He's passed out at the party, and we've jiffied him up, and I don't care if it's yellow. It does look like someone has jiffied Homer Simpson, but so what?
Right.
And so since everyone is making and using outdoor film, and we're going to use a flash, why not make the flash be daylight?
Why not?
There you go. Because now it's gonna, if everyone's making only outdoor film, we'll make the flash outdoor, everything's going to match. And then if you take a picture inside, it's probably going to be lit primarily with a flash. So at that point, the color balance is going to make most sense.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there's probably more to the story, but I like how this fits right now.
Okay.
So, and it makes sense. And so we're just going to call this the truth. And that's great. Why your flash now is approximately 5,500 Kelvin, which is almost the same as daylight. Now, it's not going to be exactly. It's going to vary a little bit. But again, we're not scientists, so who cares? Just know that white balance-wise, your flash is roughly the same as daylight.
Okay.
The end?
You need a nap? Yeah.
Yeah. So if you balance your camera properly, basically set it the white balance to daylight, have some ambient light that looks nice in the sunshine, and then add some flash to it, for the most part, it's going to match up without too many issues.
Right.
Close enough for us. Well, what if we are shooting inside? Now, what if we take our flash and go inside with our digital camera now? We can change the white balance. What now?
Well, I guess it depends on what's the kind of lights do you have in your house and what's their color temperature.
First off, what if the flash is our only light source? Let's say we kill the ambient altogether.
Yeah.
And then light the scene with just the flash.
Well, then you can set it to the flash white balance setting, which is going to, I guess, set it at roughly 5,500 Kelvin.
It's pretty close. I think they go to like 6,000 or something on the flash setting for whatever reason. But yeah, it's close enough.
Okay.
So there you go. You can change the white balance and that's it. Your flash will match just fine. It'll matter a little bit, but, you know, it's not... Again, if you're listening to our show, it's not going to matter to you.
Right.
Put it that way. Here is where the rub comes in.
Uh-oh.
What if we want to mix our flash with incandescent bulbs or tungsten bulbs or any lights in general? But let's call them, for this sake, the incandescent bulbs in our house, if they still exist. We want to mix our flash with that. Now what?
You're in trouble.
We're shooting black and white at that point.
Yeah.
No, and even then you're going to have issues. So now here's where the issue comes, because you have a very blue light on your camera, you have very yellow lights in your house, they're not going to mix well, which you could pick the yellow-white balance, you can pick the indoor-white balance, and your flash will be blue.
Right.
You pick the flash one, and now your lights will be very, very yellow. This is where gels come in.
Okay.
And some silence.
Yes. No, this is exactly where gels come in.
We're going to discuss exactly...
Just teeing it up for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're going to talk about only two different gels today. Because there's a bazillion of them. And you know, you can get some serious technical stuff. But we're going to talk today only about something called CTO and CTB.
Right.
These are probably the ones that you're going to use the most. And even then, probably only CTO for the most part. Now, what does that stand for?
Color temperature orange.
Man, that is...
color temperature blue.
That's impressive stuff, man.
Yeah.
The non-technical version is, people like to remember it by change to orange and change to blue. But Adam is correct. It is color temperature orange. So... That's it. But saying CTO or CTB, that's just cool shorthand.
Right.
Like if you drop that on people, just in general, like, wow, that guy must know his stuff.
That's what they write on the labels on the gels.
Do they?
On mine, yeah, they're all labeled, and they're just labeled CTO, half, full, quarter. Same with the CTB ones. They're just, that's how they're labeled, so.
Mine are labeled with felt pen that I did, so.
Oh, okay.
I didn't bother with the CTO. I just, numbers. So first off, CTO. Now, we've already sort of discussed this. If we're inside, we want to mix our flash with the tungsten lights. I'm going to throw a CTO on my flash, and that's going to make it yellowy, orangey, same as my other lights. And then when I set my white balance to tungsten, we're going to get normal skin tones. Everything's going to match. My flash will match my lights. That's CTO.
Right. Okay.
Now, it comes in different strengths, the CTO.
Great.
Care to drop this? There's a full one that takes it from 5,500 down to 3,200, so it matches perfectly. And then it's going to have increments in between. You have three quarters, you have half, quarter, eighth, etc. So it doesn't need to just be used for balancing. You can use it for creative purposes.
Which is kind of where I like to use it more.
Well, yes. I mean, technically by using it to match, that is a creative choice, but... Yeah, you can really go the other way and ramp it up, to basically change your environment like I did for the baseball picture I just took this week. I could not have done that without CTO. Now, but for instance, a quarter CTO adds a nice little bit of warmth to your key light, so you can use that basically all the time. It's pretty flattering to people. People like to look tanned.
Yes.
And so this actually doesn't make you look too orange. It gives a nice little warmth to it and adds some separation.
And I think a lot of people who shoot swimsuit photography just use that all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've been reading. And again, I've been doing lots of reading. And that's one of the situations that I think is just a permanent fixture on a lot of photographers' lights for shooting swimsuit photos. Because, again, most people want to look tanned in those photos.
And that would be a situation where they would balance, the white balance would be set for normal, and then adding a quarter yellow orange to it.
Right.
Because if you were...
If
you were to, say, shoot with an auto white balance, it's going to take into account the fact that you're using this CTO and adjust itself accordingly.
Right.
And you don't want that. That's not going to help you. So that is the CTO. Now, CTB, this is something I use not as often, and this is far more artistic. Since your flash you're using is already blue, you're probably not going to find yourself in too many situations where you need to blue it up more to blend it.
Right.
Like, I can't even imagine maybe if you're shooting under a... You know, one of those black lights or something, but that doesn't come up very often with me. But maybe you want to create a color contrast,
or a cool backlight.
Well, that's what I mean. Like you want to have nice blue light, either on the background or on a kicker light or something like that. Have the hair light turn blue and the front. We did a whole episode about blue and orange. Remember?
Yes.
And this was anticipation of talking about gels, which we did a scant 36 weeks later. Or maybe you just want everything to appear cool. Maybe you want to cool everything down and make it all look blue. Now, that's something that you can do. Now, you could achieve that with just the white balance, but that's going to change everything. Maybe you want just your subject to look blue, but that's a time to use the CTB. And it comes in eighth, quarter, etc., you know, half, full, all the same ones as the orange does.
Right.
Now, here's the important part.
I was waiting for the important part.
You think I'd lead with that.
Yeah.
Where to get these?
Photography stores?
Photography stores, sure. Or, well, Amazon, of course.
Oh, Amazon, yeah.
You can buy them. Now, which ones do you have? You have ones that were purchased.
Yes, I have Rogue is the company. I bought them at my local photography store.
Okay.
And it's basically a full-on, like, it's like a wallet just filled with them. There's probably, I don't know, 40 odd gels in there. And they're all just cut in size to the flash. Came with more or less a rubber band to hold them to the flash with.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they're all marked and labeled, and they have little slots in this little cool wallet that just fits in my camera bag, so it's always with me.
Nice. That's one way to go. And if you do, look for that on Amazon, of course, and click through our site, blah, blah, blah. There is a better move that is actually hard to pull off now.
Okay.
There's companies that make these gels. Now, these gels are made, usually they are made in much larger sheets for, like, theaters or bars or you know other places that you would actually want to gel lights, but for movies they use gels. So those movie lights are much larger, so they have to be larger sheets, and they want to give you. They used to give out sample packs. So a company like Roscoe or Lee would make something. I think they call them filter packs, even though they should be called gel packs. I could be wrong. They used to hand out little packages sample packs of all of their different gels and diffusion and frost and stuff like that.
They still do.
It's yep. harder to find because David Hobby figured out, or somebody figured out, but he made it popular, that if you basically cut these things out, they fit over your flash, pretty skookum, and yep. off and running. Now you have a free gel pack. And that's what I have. So
I have those too.
Nice, very handy. I was given one a long time ago, couldn't find it, and then recently, and I've always been really upset I couldn't find it, because I wanted to shoot with gels, and now they're hard to find because everybody wants one due to strobist. However, I did get my hands on one a couple months ago, and so that's the route I've gone, and I highly recommend it. If you can track one down, go to your camera store and ask them. They do sell them. Some camera stores are starting to sell them now for like, I don't know, $5 or something like that.
Okay.
Which seems a little odd, but if you can find them for free, get one. Now, that means you have to then go and cut the little plastic binder, because they basically come with a hole drilled in them and they're bound together, and then you're going to yeah. have a mess.
There's a little like almost like a key ring on the one that I got.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, mine was a plastic thing I had to cut, and once you cut it, that was the end. It's open now. And so basically, the way mine worked was each different gel had a corresponding piece of paper next to it that had the label of what that gel was.
Right.
So I then had to take a Sharpie, and on the very edge, write down what strength it was, in terms of CTO full or CTO one. Right. I called that. And you're going to want to get on that right away before you drop them and spread them everywhere and don't remember which is which.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot. Now, if you can't find those, here's another move I would do. I would head on over to your local high school and go talk to the drama teacher. They will likely have large cuts of these because they use them in their theater lights for different lighting effects. So they're likely to have these for you. Here's what I would do is I would offer to take some portraits, like headshots and stuff, of the students or whoever, in exchange for some free pieces of this stuff.
That sounds like more work than paying $30 and just buying them at your local photography store.
Mm-hmm. However, Adam, the old saying goes, is the man who cuts his firewood is warmed twice.
Okay.
So what it would be is, if you're already confident with how good you are at taking pictures and taking portraits, then don't bother. Then go out and make $30 and buy them. You are correct. In that regard, you are bang on. However, if you'd like to get some experience doing that and using your new gels that you just got from this high school, perhaps this would be a good opportunity to put them to use and get some experience.
Oh, I see.
So that's what I would do.
Okay.
Now, you need very, very small pieces to cover your flash head. I don't even remember what the size is, but very small. Keep in mind, you're only covering the front of your flash. You don't need to cover your whole umbrella.
Right.
Which, some people might think, but no, once that light coming out of there is orange, it's going to light up your umbrella orange, so you're good to go. How do you attach these, Adam? How do you do them?
I just have a rubber band.
Okay, now that the ones that you bought are large enough that rubber band works?
They're cut specifically for this rubber band that has little loops on the end of it, and so the rubber band sits around the flash, and then the gels actually slide right into it. So they're kind of cut with the shape of the flash head, but also have edges that wrap around it that slide into little slots in the rubber band. So that's how it was designed, and it's really easy to use.
It does sound fancy, though.
Yeah, a little fit. But again, I had to pay $30 for the set.
Right.
And the sample pack was free. So I have both, but I tend to use the ones I tend to use the ones with the rubber band just because they're easier, quicker.
Sure. Yeah. I don't have that option, and so I had to decide, hey, how am I gonna attach these? Well, duct tape works pretty well. Not how I do it, though.
Okay.
But duct tape works very well. I actually use Velcro is my move.
Okay.
So I cut. I can't stress enough that if you're taking pictures, you're starting to take flash pictures, especially off camera, you're going to want to head on down to your local craft store and just buy some strips of Velcro. Because it turns out Velcro is almost free now. Did you know that?
I have lots of it. I just usually buy it at the dollar store, so that's pretty free.
That's almost free. Dollar's almost free. And so that's what I end up doing, and I cut tiny little strips and basically put it on the gel and then have corresponding Velcro on my camera, and they pop on and off very, very quickly. Because the rub with the filter packs is they are pretty much exactly the right size for the flash, and no extra. There's no extra room to attach them.
Right.
They're very small, and so you kind of have to make do, but you will make do with the Velcro. That's the move. So one Velcro tip before we wrap this up.
Okay.
If you are Velcroing a bunch of different things to your camera, and I'm going to give you a hint, you are.
Okay.
If you're not now, you're going to be Velcroing a number of different units to your camera. And that might be a flag.
You mean to your flash?
What did I say?
For camera.
Oh, both. Okay, yeah, probably both, but in this case, flash. Yeah, okay. You're going to be doing a lot of different things, whether that's a snoot or a flag, or maybe you have your remote trigger that you have to Velcro, like I do. Like the way mine works is it attaches with Velcro that I've done.
Right.
In this case, you have your gels that you're going to add. Anything that you're going to add, why not make sure that you have the same half of the Velcro on your flash for everything? Meaning you have the hooks and then the fuzzy side
right.
of Velcro, right?
Yeah.
Make sure whenever you're doing it, always put the hooks on your external stuff and the fuzzy side on your flash. Or vice versa, I don't care. But always make it consistent. That way you're versatile. You can attach anything to any part of your flash.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Perfect sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, but it's not something I had thought about ahead of time. I never really looked down the road and thought I'd be attaching six different things to my flash, and thus I accidentally got it right the first time and thought, wow, I really should have thought of that.
Well, that's good.
So there, it worked out. That's it. That's the beginning of gels. Now it gets crazy after that, so buckle your seatbelts.
Okay.
Not today.
Oh.
Yeah, no. You're
just getting started.
Yeah.
I think another 4 hours.
I don't think so. No. Next week's photo challenge, Adam.
Softbox.
Soft light. The photo challenge is soft light. Now, the reason I say that is because I don't have a softbox for flash.
You should get one.
I probably will.
Pretty cool.
I thought I'd wait for you to use yours and get your impressions. That was my idea.
Yeah.
I use a softbox for continuous lighting for film and video stuff. So I do have one of those, a very portable one, made by Manfrotto, which is awesome. I love it. Very expensive, but awesome.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see what your experience is with the softbox on the flash. So this week's photo challenge is soft light. Now, there's a couple extra rules here.
Oh.
One light only.
Okay.
You can use the ambient if you like, but you can only use one flash.
Okay.
You will use your softbox. I will use an umbrella, and we'll compare.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Amazon.
Let me remind everybody about Amazon. If you're going to buy something from Amazon anyway, click through our site at twohosers.com. Click on the appropriate store and make your purchase as normal. And then what happens?
Buy the Yongnuo triggers on there.
And the softbox and the filter packs.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the softbox. I think it's just through Cheetah Stand, but...
Not my problem. Yeah. Not my problem.
Yeah, you can try to buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell if you do get in touch with Cheetah, let them know that they should go on to Amazon.
Okay.
A new car would be nice. If you buy a new
Porsche.
Porsche. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be all right. So anything like that, check us out on Amazon. Websites, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
Facebook, Two Hosers Facebook page primarily, mm-hmm. and once in a while, schwartzchronicles.com.
The monthly Schwartz Chronicles.
Yeah, really. It's kind of my wife. I've given her a pep talk, but so far, not happening.
No dice. What are you going to do? So, but check it out. You do post regularly on the Facebook page, as do I.
Yes.
On there. So there's that, and you can check my site out at alanattridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you need to know about the Facebook page, the Twitter, and all those things. That's it, Adam.
Great.
Go to sleep now.
Okay.
And it'll be a new hockey season in a few months.
Yes.
So there's that. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.